asked me how I bought it. I told him on credit, Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said something.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Friday morning. We always appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Keep the pictures coming. Gotten a few pictures of meat this morning, so that's very exciting. That's how many talk show hosts that with a text line could say that you are getting unsolicited pictures of meat products? Not very many. Enough of that. Joining us now, our returning champion. Always a pleasure to have him on. He represents the Eastern Shore, the south part of Baldwin County, but he's from the Eastern Shore. State Senator Chris Elliott on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. It is a beautiful day for a beautiful holiday weekend here in South Alabama.
Well, that's good to hear. Senator, before we get into the pressing matters of politics and the world or whatever, how did things go Ida-wise? We had the mayor of Dolphin Island. They had their typical problems on the west end. Did you see anything in your district from the storm?
We saw some challenges in our usual areas that are not uncommon for us, a lot like the west end of Dolphin Island. So we saw some issues in the Fort Morgan area and down on West Beach Boulevard that are low, that are close to the water, and then the combination of storm surge and rain really caused some issues down there. But certainly nothing near as bad as what we saw just about a year ago with Hurricane Sally, as we continue to recover from that. So it certainly was something that I'm glad did not come here, but my heart and prayers go out to those folks in Louisiana that are working through this. We know all too well what they're dealing with and how long it will take to recover in the state of Louisiana. So we are thinking about them, and lots of folks are over there trying to help them, as we so often do after these storms.
Senator, I was talking to a couple of gentlemen yesterday. That there's still these residual impacts of Sally and Zeta. That the contractors are just still staying busy, and they're not that there's still ongoing, I guess, in some ways, recovery, if you will, or repair from those storms. Does that seem to be the case?
Well, there's no question about it, and the workforce is certainly strained. I mean, I am I know at our family place on Perdido Bay, there's still only about half of the piers that are rebuilt. There are still ongoing construction up and down our street, trying to either renovate homes that were severely damaged or, frankly, rebuild homes that were completely destroyed. So all of those things are continuing on. And then, of course, just the labor market has been completely upended, not just in the construction industry, but everywhere in business, by the policies of the Biden administration and what it's done to the workforce in general. In response to COVID, the impacts are long lasting, and that coupled with a booming housing industry, coupled with a hurricane, has really created some very, very difficult problems in the construction industry and to get people put back after Hurricane Sally.
We have a lot of interesting challenges that are both kind of just circumstantial of COVID-19 in a pandemic with the supply chain and with the labor markets, but also federal government policy, as you said. People, I mean, you just see it all up and down all throughout Baldwin County, at least in my experience, and probably proportionately, there's a lot more service and retail and the hospitality side of the economy in Baldwin County than there is anywhere else in the state. And you got to, you drive by and you see the dining rooms at restaurants closed. They're only doing drive-through because they can't staff. Same with some of the restaurants in Fairhope still haven't been able to staff, so they haven't opened up their doors. And you see all of these. It's like a perfect storm almost. The challenges, at least for those of us that are on the other side of the bay, you just see it in your everyday life.
No question about it, and it is across all sectors of industry in Baldwin County. And again, you see it in our retail and service and hospitality sector, as well as, again, as we discussed, the construction sector most. It also comes with another set of challenges, and that is an affordable housing conversation that we continue to have about our workers in the county and where they are living and what they can or more often than not cannot afford in the county. And that oftentimes is made worse or at least made more challenging, I guess I should say, by property values that continue to be very, very, very high. And then, you know, government regulation that does nothing but cause, you know, increase in cost to build housing. And those are not conversations that should happen in a vacuum. You know, the more government regulation we have on things, the more cost we have associated with those government regulations. Rarely, if ever, have I seen a government regulation that made costs go down. It's always the other way. So we see those challenges in affordable housing, in workforce, not just development, but retention here for our service industry folks, and the Biden administration give outs and handouts have made that very, very challenging, and is very challenging to small business owners and to corporations alike.
Now, I know the Ivy administration has rolled back accepting some of these unemployment benefits, but to kind of counter those shortfalls in the labor markets. But is there anything else state policy-wise that you guys could do to really move things along, do you think?
You know, that's a good question. We're going to have to continue to look at workforce development across a number of different industry sectors. We need to look at areas of the particular counties, especially growing counties, where we can facilitate workforce housing and more affordable housing. You know, everybody that moves to Baldwin County is not buying a $1 million condo on the beach, and we've got to realize that we have to have those types of environments for our service folks as well. And then just overall, Jeff, looking at government regulation and it piles on and it's incremental, but it's time at some point to get our principles back out and use them, you know, the principles of limited government. And, you know, as a businessman myself, you continue to look and see there's one more, you know, bureaucrat enacted rule out there that causes a business person or an individual to jump through a hoop to open a business. And it just stymies growth and it stymies economic activity. So overall, you know, the Republicans in the legislature need to continue to endeavor to limit government where possible and to keep it as small as possible. And that will help business grow and that will help get people back to work.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, let's talk prisons. We talked about this last week and I guess it still seems like a special session's right around the corner, but have you got any – how do you feel about it right now? Are you still kind of the same place you were a week ago?
I am. I just feel maybe even a little bit better about it. You know, I was optimistic when we talked last week, and I'm even more optimistic about it today as the process continues to work the way it should and really the way it should have, worked with the governor's office from the beginning, and that is coming up with a solution – one that's affordable, one that is constrained as much as possible fiscally, but that will accomplish the goal of keeping people safe. Very much a public safety role for government here. And I think that we will finally get this plan hammered out and ready for consideration by the legislature. You know, the question is going to be what the Democrats do. Do they decide to come along to improve, prison conditions for prisoners like the federal government is on us to do, or do they try to stymie that? And I don't know. I'm not sure what their plan is. The good news is there are super majorities in both the House and the Senate to accomplish this. And I hope that the other side of the aisle will work with us to accomplish this and not against us.
The other side of the aisle seems to be fixated on something completely different. Chris England, who is a member of the legislature, but apparently is very good at better at tweeting than proposing actual legislation, thinks that you need to shake up at the Board of Pardons and Paroles. He's calling for the ouster of Lee Gwofney. She's the chairwoman of that board. I first off, I don't think it's realistic politically because there's just not the numbers for such a movement. But are there issues at the Board of Pardons and Paroles that could make this problem a little bit more solvable?
I don't think letting prisoners who have been sentenced to a term in prison out prior to their release date is the solution to this problem. And if that is what Democrats are, you know, hanging their hat on, I think they're going to be they're in for a rough ride. I do not agree that is the way to go with this. I think the way to go is rather to increase our prison capacity, make sure that our corrections officers are safe doing their job in our prisons, and when these folks are eligible for release, as determined by a sentence, then and only then should they be released.
Is it the prison issue was the third rail that you didn't really want to talk about it if you didn't have to, but then again, also the fourth year of a quadrennium really makes it difficult because you have a lot of guys that are on the ballot worried about their own races and not really wanting to cast a tough vote at this point in time. Is it the issue of prisons does not to me seem as quite as it still may be toxic, but not quite as toxic as it may have been, say, 10 years ago?
Probably not. I mean, and I will say this: if the prospect of the federal government taking over our prison system and spending unlimited amounts of Alabama taxpayer money has done anything, it has gotten the legislature to realize that we're going to have to solve this problem, and yes, we're going to have to invest in our public safety infrastructure. I don't want to spend any more money on prisoners than I have to. Certainly not, but it is clear that the option is either for us to fix this problem or for the feds to fix this problem, and I would much rather the Alabama legislature, in conjunction with the governor's office, fix this problem than having some federal bureaucracy spending Alabama taxpayer money, which they're not going to be nearly as conservative with as we are. So that's a simple solution for me. It is a tough lift. It is a complicated problem, and that's why it's been ignored for half a century. But it is something that it is our responsibility. It is something we took an oath to do, and that is to tackle the tough issues. Let's get after it. And I tend to lean into hard issues as opposed to shy away from them.
Well, let me ask you this. And I don't mean to put you on the spot here. Maybe I am, but do you know this, the answer to this question, that how much does Alabama spend per prisoner versus other states? Are we in line or are we lower? I mean, what's a good baseline comparison here?
Without quoting the exact numbers, I'll tell you that we typically are below what other states spend on prisons. Now, that's looking at a 50-state comparison. And as you might imagine, those states that are more liberal in nature spend more on their prisoners and prison programs. I'm not terribly worried about comparisons to other states. What I want to do is get out from the specter of federal takeover of our prisons. I want to keep folks that have been sentenced to prison locked up, and I want to provide facilities that are safe for our corrections officers to work in so that we don't worry about them being assaulted by our prisoners. And that's something that if we can accomplish those goals, those are public safety goals. I think those are in keeping with what we are supposed to be spending taxpayer money on, and I'm comfortable with that. What they do in Connecticut and Maine is of no concern to me. I need to get out from underneath this federal issue, keep our corrections officers safe, and keep folks that should be locked up in jail locked up in jail.
I mean, well, I really asked that question because I know education, we tend to be mid-pack but get the lowest results, and you wonder if it's a question of are we appropriating money in the right places, or is it an issue of not being enough money? And when you start building new prisons, maybe that number goes up. But you've always kind of, and a dollar goes a lot further in Alabama than in Connecticut, like you say. So maybe that's not a fair comparison. But are we? Do you think we are in line where we need to be?
I think we're getting there. I think that when you see this legislation that you'll likely see in the next month or two, you'll see a conservative approach that is solving a problem at the least possible cost to the taxpayer. Will it be more than what we're spending now? Yes, it will be. But my goal is to make sure that in no uncertain terms does it increase taxes at all. That would be a non-starter for me. Much rather see the use as much as possible of any one-time federal money to fix what is, the Fed's breathing down our necks. So we're going to try to do that as much as possible and keep the cost of this as low as possible.
But you could do it with, you think you'll be able to do it with some federal money coming in from COVID relief?
There is still some clarity that we are seeking there, but yes, that's certainly the goal. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about that back and forth. But if we know we're going to have to spend this money one way or the other, and if we know that we're going to have to spend additional money on top of whatever federal money we may be able to spend on it, then let's endeavor to spend as little Alabama state taxpayer money on this as possible. And that would mean, really maximizing any COVID relief money.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're up against a break, but we always appreciate having you on. You're always kind to come on Fridays, and have a good Labor Day.
I will do it, sir. Thank you for having me on, and I hope everybody enjoys this beautiful weather we're having.
State Senator Chris Elliott there, ladies and gentlemen, our returning champion. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Hand me my hat. Excuse me, man, but where's the door?